Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter, reading verses 15 through 24. Listen for God's word. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who eats bread in the kingdom of God." So Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I must go out and see it. Please accept my apologies.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please accept my apologies.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and so I cannot come.' The slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go into the roads and lanes and compel people to come, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. So why did you come to church? Now, I don't mean this morning, though I'd be interested to know that as well. But the first time, what drew you in to worship on a Sunday morning, or Bible study on a Wednesday evening, or a fellowship dinner, or a mission project, or a youth group? What attracted you? What drew you in? For some of you, of course, the initial choice was not yours. You were carried into the church in your parents' or grandparents' arms. And still, at some point in each of your lives, you made the decision to be part of the Christian community. Or perhaps you are considering it now. In an era when church attendance is no longer assumed or expected, each one of you came not out of compulsion or a sense of obligation, but by choice and in freedom. The alarming statistics that I read in church publications on a weekly basis provide evidence of how unusual your choice is to be here in this time and this place. Those statistics tell me that 90% of American churches of any denomination are either stagnant or declining in membership. They tell me that 3,500 churches close their doors each year. They tell me that while 96% of Americans claim to believe in God, only 18% worship regularly in a faith community. It is an unusual choice that you have made to be here. Why did you do it? Why do you come to church? Well, if the studies and surveys are correct, you are here today or in the church at all because someone invited you. Someone invited you. This is how most of us end up in the faith community. At some point, last week or decades ago, someone said, "You should come to church." And you said, "I think I will." You put aside your reservations, whether at Murphy's or in your head, and your anxieties and your preconceived notions of what church might be, and you decided to give it a try. Most of us come first as invited guests. And according to Jesus, that is exactly how it is in the kingdom of God. This morning's passage from Luke is a parable, a story Jesus told to illustrate a point. The power of a parable is that it transforms everyday mundane events and objects, a mustard seed or yeast mixed with flour, a net thrown into the sea, a man who hosted a great feast, into sacred channels of divine truth. When Jesus spoke of God's kingdom, he told stories that invited his listeners to see the ordinary in an extraordinary way through the lens of faith. You may not know this, but when a child is baptized in this church, the water that we use is no different from what you may have used to wash your hands only moments before. It's the same water. Yet, in the mystery of the sacrament, it is transformed. Just as this morning, ordinary bread and grape juice will become for us a taste of the heavenly banquet. As Will Willimon has written, to be a Christian is to be reminded on a weekly basis that we are meant to look at the world with different standards of judgment than those that operate outside the church, to see the extraordinary in the ordinary. And a parable does exactly that, reframes our vision of the ordinary world and opens us to new understandings of God and God's kingdom. Well, in this morning's story, the invitation is not to church, but to a dinner party. What the parable describes is the ultimate embarrassment for any host. You clean the house. You borrow dishes and chairs from the neighbors, clean the linen napkins, and prepare a wonderful meal. And then, one by one, just hours before they are to arrive, the guests begin to call. "Sorry, I can't make it. Couldn't find a babysitter. Too much going on at the office. Just not feeling very well this evening. Something came up. Have you seen the weather forecast? I just don't feel good about going out tonight. Just can't make it. So sorry. Thanks anyway. Maybe next time." And before the host can even catch his breath, his distinguished list of dinner guests has evaporated and no one is coming. Well, of course, this is a parable, and so we should expect the unexpected. What is surprising is not the excuses of the invited guests. Who hasn't heard or used them all? Okay, maybe not the one about the oxen, but you get the point. What is unusual is not the list of excuses, but the reaction of the host. We readers are prepared for him to cancel the dinner in frustration. But he does not cancel the dinner. He extends the table. "Go and send for those who were not initially invited, especially those on the fringe of society. Bring in the outsiders. Let them come to the table. The priority of the host is not an elite group of guests, but a crowded house. He wants a full table. We in the Presbyterian Church sometimes joke that the best way to draw a crowd of Presbyterians is to serve a meal, preferably one with deviled eggs and lots of mayonnaise. But there is some theological truth in that wisecrack. From the earliest days of the Christian movement, all our acts of worship have centered on word and table. A meal is the fundamental repeated sacrament of our community. And since those early days, the church has always at its best been in the business of extending the table. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to participate in Catholic Mass at a beautiful church in Managua, Nicaragua. The church building is unique. It has only two walls. And because of this, the church is not able to keep anyone or anything out. Birds fly by as the priest delivers his homily. Children playing soccer in the street occasionally kick the ball into the chancel area. People come and go. You can hear throughout the service the sounds of street vendors outside or people laughing. A church that cannot keep anyone out. It's a parable of the kingdom of God, of the church's mission. Yes, we sit here this morning to worship God together in reverence and in praise, but it must not stop here. That church in Managua has found a way to both have church and be the church simultaneously. As we prepared for the Eucharist meal, people came in off the streets and joined in. I received my bread and was reminded of the unity to which we are called in Jesus Christ. This is not a Presbyterian or a Catholic table, we were reminded. This is the Lord's table, and all who believe, all who accept the invitation are welcome to share in the meal. The boundaries of land and nationality and wealth and denomination were non-existent at that table. The host was the one whose generous welcome transcends every barrier, every prejudice, every human invented category that labels some people as acceptable and others as unacceptable. This is a host who saves a place at the table for all of us, and especially for those whom we might never think to invite. I believe this with all my heart. We can do nothing more antithetical to the gospel than deny some a place at the table. When we keep people out, we disobey the one whose hospitality always offended the self-righteous and upset the legalistic. When we presume that we are the host, deciding who can and who cannot come to the table, we have transgressed the boundaries of what it means to be human creatures and not the Creator Almighty. I don't know how large this table is. You don't know how large this table is. We are not the hosts. We are the emissaries, the servants of the one who said, I want my house to be full. We are invited guests, and we are carriers of invitation to others. This morning, with Christian believers all over the globe, we celebrate World Communion Sunday. Its beginning was almost too small to notice. In 1936, when a local group of Presbyterian ministers gathered to pray for the world, they gathered to pray because it was a scary time. War on the horizon, nation set against nation, financial markets in the midst of collapse, a divided and distrustful world. And these pastors, this small group of clergy, were convinced that there was some way that the Christian community could respond. Their idea was this. What if we all gathered around the communion table on the same Sunday? Hardly a proposal for world peace or economic stimulus. But those pastors knew the truth of the parable that Jesus tells this morning. They knew that the role of the church in a time of crisis is to set a table, prepare a meal, and then invite all people to come and share the feast. Because when there is a place for you at the table, you can be transformed by the grace you find there. Many of us have been transformed by that invitation, by that welcome. When you take the bread and the cup this morning, also take a moment to consider our brothers and sisters sharing this meal all over God's good creation. Take a moment to remember our mothers and fathers in the faith who sat at this table long before us and who extended the invitation that we now accept. Take a moment to acknowledge your neighbors to the left and to the right, those who are your enemies and those who are your friends. Take a moment to be reconciled to one another and to God. Take a moment to consider the host, the one who beckons and calls, the one who saves a place at the table for you. And then don't pause to check your calendar for a free moment. Don't wait until your to-do list is complete. Don't evaluate the worthiness of those around you or even your own. Don't make excuses or apologies or alternate plans. Your name is on the invitation. So just come to the table. Just join the feast. Just spread the word. All are invited. All are invited. All are invited.